Shalom Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man, one new humanity. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. And I just don't understand this. So I have my good friend Perry Stone on the phone. And Perry, I just don't understand when we look at the biblical feasts. I mean, God doesn't say these are just Jewish feasts. He says these are my feasts. When we look at them, how come the early church tampered with them, and today the average Gentile wants nothing to do with the Jewish feasts, nothing to do with understanding them? And for starters, we know that the first feasts, which are called the spring feasts, just fulfilled everything on the first coming of Jesus, and the fall feasts will fulfill everything in the return of Jesus. How did all of this get taken out of the picture for the church?
See, this is what I think, what happened as far as it relates to the Feast of Israel and kind of being taken out of the Gentile branch of the church, especially around the 3rd and 4th century. The first century church, without a doubt, was Jewish. In other words, the day of Pentecost was all 3,000 Jews being converted. Later on, 5,000 other Jews were converted. And so there was this strong Jewish emphasis. Now, that when the Gentiles were grafted into the covenant, the Gentiles struggled because there was a lot of idolatry. There was a lot of mixing of the Greek and Roman traditions, culture, mythology, and all this that came in with the Gentile branch. Eventually, there was also a group of rabbis that existed. Some of this was even after the destruction of the temple. And these particular rabbis were not friendly toward the Jewish branch of Christianity or even toward the Jewish people who had converted to Christ or believed in the Messiah. And so there was a lot of writings, a lot of animosity that started breaking out against the leaders of the Christian church and some of these rabbinical sources, rabbis, who were very vehemently against the idea of Christ being the Messiah. By the time you get to let's say, the 3rd century to the 4th century, right in that era there, there seems to be a separation, especially from the time of Constantine forward, of trying to separate anything and everything that is Jewish out of the Christian branch of the church. You know, we all know this, and I don't make a personal issue. I tell people what Paul said. I said, you know, every man has to purpose in his own heart what he believes. But the original Sabbath was always Saturday, and of course that was changed. Then the feast became just things that were in the Old Covenant or Old Testament with no application today relating to their fulfillment prophetically or fulfillment through Christ. So I think it was the animosity that was started between bishops, early fathers, with the argument from these rabbis that were in Asia Minor, they were in parts of Europe, and it just caused this real chasm to form between the two groups. What I'm thankful for is, you know, the Bible says in the book of Acts that there's a restitution of all things that's spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets before the world began. And at this restitution of all things, it'll be a sign that Christ is about to be released from heaven and returned to the earth. I believe that among the restitution, a part of the restitution is Israel being restored as a nation again in 1948, Jerusalem being reunited as the capital city of Israel after the Six-Day War in 1967, the Jews returning from, you know, Russia and other parts of the north, which began to take place, of course, in the 1980s, and really continues all to this day. I believe that the real situation that we're dealing with here is a lot of people, let's say even in our time, there's two things. One group is understanding that this restitution is linked to Israel, the Jews, Jerusalem, and the Jewish people, because this is the words of the Old Testament prophets. Okay? when we know that Israel, the Jews, Jerusalem, and the Hebrew people are linked to the fulfillment of major prophecies that lead to the return of the Messiah, then we will change our attitude of how we view the Jews, Jerusalem, and the nation of Israel. And our attitude will be one of being very positive and understanding they have a major role to play, not only in the time of the end, but in the appearing of the Messiah. So that's why once people come to the knowledge of, let's say, how the feasts are fulfilled, how part of them are yet to be fulfilled, when they come to the knowledge of Old Testament prophecies that are being fulfilled and yet to be fulfilled, and they realize that Christianity's roots are not in the Gentile pagan emperors of Rome. Christianity's roots are in Judaism. They're in the prophets of the Old Testament. And we get that root straightened out. You know, the tree can't have good fruit when it's got a bad root. When we get the root straightened out of who we are and our what I call Hebraic roots, we have an absolute better understanding of, oh, wow, we are a part of being grafted into the faith that Abraham had and this covenant that God made and are spiritual heirs with him. This is the reason why, let me give you a nugget. This is the reason why when God appeared to Abraham, he showed him the sand of the earth and the stars of heaven. Stars are heavenly, sand is earthly, because Abraham would produce two distinct seeds. One would be earthly, represented by sand, which would be the Jewish people with Jewish blood, Jewish DNA, Jewish mothers who can trace their lineage back through the Jewish people. The heavenly seed, that's the church. The church has heavenly promises. Israel, as a nation, has earthly promises. The promises of Israel, if you look at them all through the Old Testament, was a kingdom on earth, a Messiah on earth, a king on earth, land on earth, blessing on the land. Look at the church's promises, heavenly city, New Jerusalem, Bema, marriage supper. God had stars and sand, the stars being the church, the sand being the natural seed of Abraham, and the stars being the spiritual seed. And those little things of understanding that I think will better help prepare a person to understand the feast, the Jewish faith, how it relates to Christianity, how that we're grafted in. I love that scripture about one new man, how the Jews and the Gentiles come to the understanding of Messiah through the prophets, the law and the prophets, and through that become one new man in him. It's, you know, that's the part to me that's exciting about living today, because people are coming to a knowledge all across the world, you know?
But, Perry, explain to me Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, and when that dawned on you, especially in reference to the feasts.
Here's the thing about the law. I have heard growing up, the law was done away with. Jesus did away with the law. Now, let's look at first of all, that they're basically saying the Torah, five books of Moses, because that's all a part of what we call the law of God. If you do away with Torah, you got to do away with the whole book of Genesis, which is the story of creation. You have to do away with understanding the history of the nations in chapter 11. You have to do away with Abraham going on the mountain, which is a picture of Christ in Genesis chapter 22. You have to do away with Numbers 19, which is the revelation of the ashes of the red heifer, which is a picture of the crucifixion of Christ. So that's point one. You got to do away with all the symbolism that proves that Christ is the Messiah, which is found all through the Torah. The second thing is simply this. If you take the law of God, you can divide it up into the ceremonial law of God. You can describe it into the sacrificial law and the moral law. The ceremonies are feasts, Sabbaths, and new moons. Part of those have not yet been fulfilled in the Messiah. They will be in the future. The sacrificial law was all fulfilled through the Messiah, Christ, through his death and resurrection. The moral law of God still exists. I can take people and show you where God said, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this in the Torah, and then show you in the New Testament, he's still saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this.
So when Paul says we're no longer under the law, he's talking about the law of animal sacrifices for atonement for sin, not about all those other things.
Exactly. And, you know, here's the thing. I've heard people say, and I was going to mention this a minute ago, you know, when they talk about that the Lord has done away with the law, then you come into the New Testament and you see all this writing where God is still instructing people how to live, how to walk. Jesus, even in his teaching, he would tell people, you treat people this way, you don't do that, you give people a glass of cold water, this, that, and the other. And what basically happens is this. I heard somebody say, you know, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Well, let me ask you a question. That's good and that's true through Christ, but what about the blessing of the law? Because there were blessings placed on people for obeying God. And I've heard guys get up and talk about we're redeemed from the curse, but we're no longer under the law. And I would say to myself, no, wait a minute. You know, you're looking at law as a negative thing of just you don't. But look at God's blessing. I'll bless you coming in, bless you going out. Make head, not the tail. You shall lend and not borrow. The ground should be blessed. The fruit of your womb should be blessed. Your family should be blessed. Your children should be blessed. Do you think I want to do away with those blessings? All I have to do is be obedient to the Word of God. And one thing, I wrote a book years ago on the breaking the Jewish code. In it, I talked about this, and people were amazed because they said, we never thought about it. You can take all the Ten Commandments, exactly the way they're listed in the Bible, in the Torah, and you can find the same exact ten right there in the New Testament. So when we talk about it, I think there's this really confusion about people's perception of what we mean by law, because the ceremonial part, the sacrificial part, was fulfilled in Christ. That was Christ fulfilled the law. He was the lamb that was sacrificed. There's no more need of animal sacrifices. There's no more need of forgiveness through an animal blood. There's no more need of those sacrifices. That's what, when the New Testament talks about it, that's what it was talking about. Because there were Jewish people that were being persecuted in the book of Hebrews that left the faith in Messiah and went back to the temple to offer sacrifices in order to appease people that were putting pressure on them for becoming messianic believers.
Perry, I'm sorry, we're out of time, but these nuggets, you've got to understand them. And you flat will not understand the return of Jesus if you don't understand the biblical feasts. That's why I've got to get this book in your hands, The Prophetic Future Concealed in Israel's Festivals, and then the vision Perry had in the teaching on two DVDs. The first is Mysterious Events Surrounding the Catching Away of the Saints. And then, if you live in America or you're anywhere connected to America, and that's the whole world, how about the DVD, America in the Fullness of the Gentiles, all available for a gift of $45. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222 Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.